Good morning. This is the Dr. Leslie Show, your bridge to wholeness with holistic living and Wave of Fire. Welcome, listeners. We've got an excellent experience for you today. And first, I want to introduce our guest hostesses today. We've got Stacy Kirkpatrick and Ellen Whiteside. Hi, Stacy. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me today.
Hi, Leslie.
Hi, Ellen. Beautiful sunshiny day in Charlotte, North Carolina. Beautiful day no matter what the weather is all over the world. Listeners, in this moment, we just ask you to tune in and feel the divine perfection of yourself being here on planet Earth right now. So, welcome, community. We are 71 countries wide and 50 states in the United States, and we are joined today in a little bit by a very special guest. So, you know, we're actually doing things a bit differently today. We are merging holistic living and Wave of Fire in honor of a special guest, where we're really going to be talking about concepts that deal with both the body, mind, spirit, and with spiritual consciousness, which is out of the box, off the planet, outside of any limitations whatsoever. So our guest, his name is Rizwan Virk, and he's the author of a book called Zen Entrepreneurship, Walking the Path of the Career Warrior. Riz is going to be calling us in just a few minutes. You guys, I just wanted to have a little pre-discussion about this. I think it's exciting because, you know, we've been talking about manifestation. We've been talking about raising our frequency to match that which we intend. But this guy has an incredible wealth of experience and gifts to bring forward, specifically about working manifestation through business. Now, how many people do we know, especially that have really committed themselves to their highest walk, who have even let go of their old conventional jobs and are looking towards living through the heart in their business that could use some help with?
Absolutely. There are a lot of people that are wanting to step into their purpose and live from their heart and leave their corporate job and do something that really feeds their soul. And I think we're at a time where people feel that desire and want to move into their self-expression, and it's all about trust and faith.
Oh, I love that one. Trust and faith. Thank you. Oh, and by the way, Stacy, our motto last week on last week's show is faith determines fate.
Oh, wow.
Do you like that one?
I like that.
That's
yes.
Great.
Faith determines fate.
Absolutely.
Do you like that?
I do.
So, you know, I mean, so guys, what is going on here as we are working with the new energies on the planet, this new wave of that which we call God that's kind of shifting everything? It looks to me like the old form is collapsing, and especially we started seeing it in the economy in the United States and in real estate and so on, kind of really blew up around 2006, didn't
yes.
it?
Yeah. Yes.
And all these people are scrambling. They've lost their jobs. They don't have, you know, they don't have work. There's families that ended up living out of their cars. I mean, so much happened that, you know, I feel that we are experiencing the turbulence of an old structure collapsing because the energy that supported it has now changed, and we've got the new coming in.
Yeah. I think more and more people are stepping into what their purpose is in this lifetime, and I think that it has definitely, the energies are in alignment with that happening. So
yes, the old paradigms are falling away.
Yeah.
You know, the idea of what society thought we should be, the 9-to-5, you know, the typical, you know, we have the stay-at-home moms that are now are more career-oriented and finding their path, and the feminine energy is growing and stronger, and we're stepping into, you know, we're still that nurturing role, but taking it out into the world and making it within the city of Charlotte, the state, and global. You know, we're just sharing our passion and our power.
Wow. Wow. You know, I'm glad you brought that up too, Stacy. And you know what? I'm going to just share with the listeners the little conversation we were having right before the show started. Ellen, you were reminding me. Mm-hmm. Eve consciousness, and those of you who are new, you know, it's something that's kind of unfolding gradually. Show by show, we're going to be talking more about Eve consciousness. And there is going to be a seminar workshop here in Charlotte, North Carolina in the next 8 weeks. So that is you know, stay tuned. You'll hear about that. But the EVE of Eve are really symbolic of different aspects of human evolutionary shifts that have taken place and the gifts which we step into as we are the divine manifestors of our lives. And the V, you know, if you think about the shape of a V, it's like a holding cup. You know, we like the chalice, the Holy Grail, the divine feminine, which is really in all of us. But Ellen, just why don't you share with them what you were saying to me, what you were noticing in nature?
Well, I was sitting out the other day just looking, because I live in a beautiful nature spot, up at the trees and the way that when the limbs are coming up and when the trees branch out, that it's strictly in a V shape. So to me, it's a reminder of just being able to look around and stay conscious of, look at what nature is doing as far as creating its abundance of being a healthy living plant, tree, whatever. So it was a model to me that now whenever I'm looking outside, it keeps me reminding to stay in the V.
Oh, hey, I like that one.
Yeah,
I do. Stay in the V.
Stay in the V.
Stay in the V, which is, you know what, that openness to receive.
Absolutely.
And you know what else? It's that open cup that's not full of a bunch of junk from the rest.
Yes. Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely.
So this is where the clearing, cleansing, the letting go, and the healing of the junk that has filled our cup that says, I choose and I intend this, 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 or this in my life, in my relationship, in the world, and yet we're going, you know, it's blocked from showing up in this realm because our cup is full of junky stuff and yeah. stuff from the past or whatever. And if we empty that, and again, I think we've talked about it before, that one of the keys of emptying that cup is forgiveness.
Yeah,
forgiveness,
yes, absolutely.
You know, and even moving out of a paradigm that says, I was right, they were wrong, I was wronged by them, they shouldn't have done that, and I'm going to grant them my forgiveness. Okay, there can be a place that actually forgives life itself to a place that actually shifts out of our duality thinking and into seeing the gift moment by moment of everything that's happened, even if we didn't like the way it showed up at the moment. It wasn't fitting for what we were thinking at the time. Sometimes, really, our highest path is not comfortable. And the next step of expansion and growth and maturing on our highest level is, you know, is challenging. And sometimes if we forgive that challenge and actually say, you know what, thanks, because in truth, I know that I wanted that challenge because I really wanted to have that breakthrough that came afterwards.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah, and then celebrating that bliss. I think it's just being in new practices of, you know, releasing and letting go of what is not serving us and then stepping into being that receptacle and receiving. I think that's something that, you know, we all have a hard time with, is just being open to receiving. We are all, you know, are good at giving, but really being open to receiving God's blessings. And, you know, they're right there just waiting for us to accept.
Absolutely. Isn't that gorgeous? Now, folks, I just want to let you know that Rizwan Virk, the author of Zen Entrepreneurship, is in the room because he is on the phone. So let's bring Riz in now. Riz, this is Dr. Leslie. Welcome this morning. And I wanted to let you know we've got Stacy and Ellen with us. They are my guest co-host today. We're all going to be firing questions at you. We can't wait.
Well, it's great to be here this morning.
Good. So, Riz, I'm really intrigued with your book, Zen Entrepreneurship. And number one, the fact that not only have you brought forward your story and your gifts that we can learn from without having to go through the years of experience that you did, that we can kind of fast forward into what you've gotten, but you've actually worked it into a bit of a workbook so that we can apply it to our lives. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So the book itself is the story of my very first company that I started as a fresh graduate out of MIT many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a chronicle of many of the adventures and mistakes made on the business path. But also that was when I started on a path of personal development, and I started to do things like meditation and yoga and looking within, and I started to realize that a lot of the problems that my business was facing or that I was facing in my career were the same issues, you know, that I was facing in my personal development. And so that really, you know, led me to reflect on that whole experience and write this book, initially to kind of tell the story, but then, as you just mentioned, you know, with this new edition of the book that just came out, there are a series of exercises at the end of each chapter and summaries to let the lessons really sink in so that you can bring, you know, this idea that your career, your work in life, and your spiritual development don't have to be so separate, but they can be part of your integrated path in this life.
Isn't that amazing? Well, you know, as you say that, I'm kind of thinking, are they really ever separate anyway, or is that just our separation in our minds and our illusion? You know, when you said how you were reflecting on the sameness there that was happening, it really, I was holding on to that word reflect, because it sounds like your business world on the outside was directly reflecting your world on the inside, like as within, so without. Do you think that's what's happening for most people?
You know, I really do. I think that, in fact, is, you know, gets at the core of what holds us back in our careers, is that the outer is really a reflection of the inner. And I'll give you a great example, you know, from my book and the business that I talk about. You know, our business started to grow really fast. We raised millions of dollars in venture capital, and then suddenly we ran into problems. And the problem that we ran into was a direct reflection of my inner state. And, you know, my mentor in the book points this out, and I was only dimly aware of this state, but I basically had a tendency to start one thing, jump in, do it really well, and then very quickly want to move on to the next big thing. Mm-hmm. And then do that for a little while, and then I wanted to jump into the next big thing. So this was, you know, part of what I call my inner energetic pattern. And what happened was, as the company grew, this inner energetic pattern started to be reflected in the company, and we started to do another product and another product, and we started a services group, and then we, you know, bought some other company's products, and we were just doing too many things at once, and that was a direct reflection, you know, of my own internal pattern. And the way to recognize it sometimes is to look at what I call external patterns, things that have happened in your life more than one time, more than two times even. And in this case, you know, I was fresh out of school. It turns out the same thing had happened to me in high school, where I was involved in too many activities and had to drop them. The same thing happened in college, and now it was happening, you know, with much more serious financial consequences within the business itself. And I had to really look at and examine that pattern, both inner and outer, in order for the business to be successful.
Wow. Well, that sounds like it would have moved in quite a deeply intimate experience of self-examination. What type of energetic or emotional core or character trait did you come up with to deal with that you saw as being the foundations of this pattern?
Well, you know, as I reflected on my inner pattern, and I think each of us is very unique, right? Each of us brings a different set of life experiences, a different personality, different hopes and fears. And I think, you know, the sum of all those things kind of define our own internal energetic pattern. And I think different people reflect it differently. For example, you know, in my pattern, I talk about doing too many things at once and trying to hold on to all of them. You know, there was another entrepreneur I was working with recently, so I've now, you know, I used to run companies, I still do, but I spent a lot of time mentoring other people and investing in their companies and their film projects. And he had a pattern where he would do something and then completely abandon it for the next thing almost too quickly, right? Before he had really given it a chance to succeed. Mm-hmm. And then he would abandon the second thing too quickly. And so he was only working on one thing at a time, but he wouldn't give each one enough time to succeed. So, you know, I think each of us has a different internal energetic pattern, and it manifests itself slightly differently in the world. You know, for me, it took, you know, a lot of reflection on my inner state, and I saw that there was a real sort of tightening up inside, and that tightening up made me want to go really fast, you know, and made me want to get really excited by the next big thing. And so this was actually a positive thing, right? This is what got me to be an entrepreneur in the first place, and allowed me to jump into new things and learn them really quickly and be successful at them. But it was also what was holding me back in many ways. So that was, you know, part of the inner reflection that I found with myself.
Okay, so have you set up a system of analysis where we can find out what our own inner pattern is that also is expressed as an outer pattern? And then it sounds like you were seeing the gifts, the strengths, and the weaknesses of that pattern. And is there a system that you have, or, you know, how are we able to really analyze and determine what our pattern is?
Well, yeah. So the book describes a couple of different systems that are helpful, you know, one of which is what I call getting clues from the treasure hunt. And what that means is I think we can each view our lives and our careers as a treasure hunt or a great mystery where we're being given clues to find the treasure. And the treasure at the end of the series of clues, in this case, is not necessarily financial wealth, although it might be, right? The real treasure is finding that higher part of ourselves that is here to learn a series of lessons and that is here to make a contribution. And I call that our own unique warrior's path, which is the combination of those two things. And so one of the ways to get there is to pay attention to these clues. And I believe clues are happening all around us. And a clue can be a little hunch or a little voice that we have inside our head. It can be a synchronicity when we're thinking about something and something comes up, you know, from the outside world, and we have a funny feeling about that. And we have to, you know, I encourage people to pay attention to those funny feelings, the feelings of deja vu that they get. And, you know, I list a whole bunch of different types of clues, ranging from dreams that we have at night and some of the messages that can come through us that way, you know, to external events or even little errant phrases that we might see in the world around us.
Oh, you mean like driving past a billboard and suddenly the words right there on that billboard speak to what you were just thinking about? Is that what you're meaning?
That's exactly right. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like life speak. You're just actually listening to life around you?
That's exactly right. And these messages are there, and they're highly personalized messages for us, right? If you or I were to see the same billboard, we would have a completely different reaction, perhaps, right? Because one of us may have been thinking about or struggling with an inner issue that speaks to directly, and the other one may not have. And so these are, I view them as kind of personalized messages which reveal a higher pattern at work in our lives. And they're sort of glitches in the matrix, if you will, right? Seeping through. This higher pattern is seeping through, and we get our minds or memories jogged by this, saying, hey, this is important. You know, you should pay attention to this. I'll give you an example. A friend of mine was, you know, searching for a new home in Arizona, and she just couldn't find one that she liked, and she was getting really frustrated and down by the whole process, and it had been going on for a long time. And suddenly she saw a bumper sticker, the car ahead of her, and it said, you know, not all those who wander are lost. And it kind of struck a chord with her, and she didn't know what it was. So, you know, she kind of ignored it for a while, and then she was reading something on the web, and she came across the same phrase again. It said, not all those who wander are lost. So there's an element of repetition that sometimes comes with these clues. And then it happened a third time, and she asked me about it. And I said, well, that sounds like it's from The Lord of the Rings, which is a fantasy novel, and she doesn't even read fantasy novels. But really, it was a personalized message for her about, you know, you don't have to buy a home right now. It's okay to be moving around, you know. Wandering is okay. You don't have to be, you know, in one physical place. And that gave her a lot of comfort. And so it was sort of a reflection of her inner issue, and the universe supported her by sending her these messages. That's just one example of many.
That's gorgeous. That's gorgeous. So what I'm hearing from you now is bringing to my own mind a sense of what we were discussing right before we came on with you, Riz, which was really about being open to receive. Some call it the divine feminine. You know, we were just talking about not only holding an intention for something, but being available to receive it so that it comes through. And it sounds like you're really emphasizing receiving the gifts and the information that life itself is bringing to us, receiving guidance, which is what I think of when you were talking about meditating. I think so many people in the world are very familiar with prayer, which I consider to be talking to or talking at that which we call God, and meditation be actually opening to listen to. And that's the receiving from. So how did your experience with meditation, what came through for you in meditation particularly that helped you have these realizations?
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's a really important point. So meditation, you know, which we think of as primarily a mental practice, or yoga, which we think of as primarily a physical practice, you know, are both kind of interrelated in a way. And in the yogic traditions, our mind and body consists of a series of clear sheets, one inside the other. And what happens in life, I mean, these sheets are clear and they let light in and they let us perceive outwards clearly. But what happens in life is, as we go through life and you know, bad things happen to us, or we get upset at people, or various things happen, imperfections are created in these clear sheets, so they become muddy over time. And so what the process of meditation does, again, according to the yogic traditions, is that it actually clears up this muddiness. Think of it like a dirty windshield, right? You're driving along the road, and it's like the windshield wiper that lets you clear that so that you can see and receive more clearly and listen to that inner voice and the external guidance that I believe is coming to us all the time.
Wow.
And so that's, you know, meditation was a key part of that process for me. And I think in general, you asked, you know, how do we recognize our patterns? Well, part of it is that we just don't see clearly, right? We're stuck in our stories. And I caught the tail end of what you were saying earlier, you know, when I dialed in about forgiveness, and I think that's also a really important point as well. The more we hold these things in our energy fields and in our bodies, the less we're able to see clearly what's really going on in the world.
Oh, how beautiful. So there we go again, really about emptying our cup of that which blocks us from seeing clearly and receiving, which is also about cleaning the windshield, too, so that we can receive all that input, can't we? Visually, we're able to see all the cues. It's all right there for us, isn't it? If only we're open to see and hear and receive all of the assistance that we've got. Riz, thank you so much. I'm going to ask, we're just going to take a short break, and we're going to come back with you in just a moment. And I'm reminded to just let the listeners, while we go on to our commercial break for a moment, reflect on the fact that the Bible many, many more times uses the word meditate than pray. You know, and it seems like in most religions these days, or at least in the Christian religious system, most of meditation has been left out completely now. I mean, where is there the space for the listening and the openness to receive? I feel that it's time that we reawaken to that and start moving into these gifts that Riz is sharing with us. Thanks, Riz. We'll be back with you in just a moment after this brief commercial break. Listeners, this is Dr. Leslie, here to remind you that this show is an expression of oneness in every way. The financial support of it is purely from two things: the contributions from you, the listeners who receive its gifts, and your inspired, spirit-led ideas for financial support of it. Last month, listeners' gifts reached two-thirds of the needed cost for this show. This month, I stand in gratitude and allowance for complete and abundant financial support of this show in ease, joy, and glory. Thank you for your contributions. Thank you, those of you who have felt the prompting within your heart, stepping forward to be the angels who are helping to carry and make it possible for this community to live on. May it continue to be an expression of the new energy that's not about traditional ways of business or competition, but community coming together and hand in hand, contributing and creating something greater than would ever come from one. Thank you for following your heart every moment. Thank you for acting on your inner guidance if you're prompted to contribute to the show by your monetary gift, or by shopping on our online oneness shop, or advertising with us on the show. You can do all three of these things by going to www.bridgeholistichealing.com. Blessings and walk sacred. Welcome back. We're coming back in with our special guest today. It's such a pleasure, Riz Virk, and his book, Zen Entrepreneurship, Walking the Path of the Career Warrior. Riz, so excited to be learning these things from you today. And I just wanted to see if you had any comments on this conversation that's been coming up about the divine feminine, equating that feminine energy as the receiving energy. Do you have any insights about that as far as the doing part and versus the receiving part when it comes to career and manifesting in the world?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think that it's very important that we learn to balance both parts, the masculine and the divine feminine. Also, the right brain, which is the more creative side, and the left brain, which is more the more analytical side. And too often, you know, in our careers and in the self-help world, there's, you know, here's a set of techniques, right? Follow these external techniques, right? And do X, Y, and Z, and you will be successful. And, you know, personally, I believe that because each of us is unique, each of us faces different challenges, we have to tailor, you know, the techniques to our own personality and what works for us. And I think to do that, we need to have a balance between intuition and logic. And, you know, I've seen so many times where an intuition has led, you know, to something great in terms of career success. But then we have to balance that with some amount of logic. And usually people are too far one way or the other way.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when I talk about these clues, I mean, I'll give you a great example of another clue that was directly impacted my career that I think, you know, emphasizes this point between logic and intuition. I had a startup in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and we were looking for a name for the company, and we couldn't find one. And so I went to visit my parents, who were living in Michigan at the time, and I drove by Ann Arbor, Michigan, which is a college town, and I saw a name on the side of a building. The name was Arbor Text. And it sounded vaguely familiar. I had that sense of deja vu, like this is something I should pay attention to. Mm-hmm. So when I got back to Cambridge, I thought about it, and I said, well, these guys named their company after their college town, Ann Arbor. Why don't we name our company after our college town? And we did. We named it Cambridge Documents because it was a document management company.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a little intuition that led to the solving of a specific problem. But then I thought about it some more, and I said, well, let me follow this. Now that I've received this clue, let me follow it further. And I said, well, who is this company? What do they do? And turns out they did something very similar to what we were doing, but they were much bigger and had huge clients like Boeing and Toyota. And so I contacted the founders of that company, and on my next vacation home to visit my parents, I showed them our product. And to make a long story short, there was a good fit, and they ended up becoming our biggest customer and brought us into all these big companies. We were just a tiny startup at the time. And that's an example, I think, where I balanced the two, both intuition and logic, to try to create a successful outcome in my career.
Beautiful. Okay. So, which brings to my mind, you know, the conversation that leads me into thinking about bringing together spirit and matter. You know, we've talked on the show, Riz, recently about how in the old days, it seemed that the way was always that it was easier to be spiritual if you were poor, you know, and in the Bible, Jesus says, it's harder for a rich man to get to heaven than the camel to go through the eye of the needle. And the eye of the needle is actually a pathway, quite a difficult terrain to trek. Okay. Which means it takes higher skills. Okay, and maybe there's less what some would call temptation to fall out of your balance and lose connection with who you truly are and your higher self and that which we call God, to where you're caught up in sense of need, greed, and materialism. Okay, I really personally believe that there's a new movement happening on the planet today where it is our responsibility as souls to be bringing spirit through matter and having a material world that is spiritualized. It's, as you're talking about being the entrepreneur who is not just in an unconscious doingness in the world, but actually being a vessel for spirit to flow through into that doingness, and which would obviously be into everything that comes from it. What are your thoughts on, you know, that advanced path of walking in spiritual awareness with a heart open, and also creating, manifesting, and being in material wealth in the world at the same time. What do you see the difference between that conscious material working versus unconscious material working, or conscious being broken poor?
Sure. Well, you know, I agree with you that traditionally, you know, that has been the view in many religious and spiritual traditions, that you have to be poor. Even in the Eastern Buddhist traditions, you know, go off into the mountains and meditate, right? Don't have anything to do with the world.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I'm really following a different tradition, and it's one that's been there in Tibet, for example, where everything in the world is considered sacred. That, you know, includes the material possessions, and that all of those things can be used to advance our spiritual development.
Mm.
And the key is the attitude that we bring to any of those tasks. So, you know, obviously I don't believe that you have to be poor to be spiritual. I believe that we can live in abundance and have our material needs met. But what we have to be careful of is what you talked about earlier. It's that greed, it's that grasping that we have internally that's like, okay, I just want to get X amount of money, and then I want to get X amount more, and then once you've got that, I want to get X amount more, right?
Mm-hmm.
This internal grasping that we have, and attachments that we have towards things in the world that we think we have to have in order to be happy, right? But really, there's a great quote, you know, from Buddhism, and I'm sure there's a similar quote in the Bible, but, you know, it talks about, you know, happiness. There is no, somebody asked, what is the path to happiness? The truth of the matter is there is no path to happiness. Happiness is the path, right?
So, yes.
So it's about maintaining the right attitude, you know, along the way. And, you know, one of the things I talk about in my book is how to use the world around us as a form of meditation. And, you know, the psychologist Freud once said that life consists mostly of love and work, right? Well, if you actually add up all the hours that we spend, for most people, life consists mostly of sleep and work.
Right?
Yeah. Sleep 8 hours and you work 8 hours. That's 16
yeah,
out of 24.
Right? There's lots of people love to sleep. We might love to sleep, right?
Right. But in the book, I talk about how do you transform both of those areas,
uh-huh,
your work and your sleep, to be part of your spiritual development by recognizing the challenges that are coming up to you at work, by staying mindful at work. I mean, we talked about meditation. Meditation usually starts off as concentration, but the real goal is to be open and develop awareness to receive. And so by using our work, parts of our work, and concentrating on them, which is very difficult these days, to really concentrate on anything for a period of time and not have outside interruptions jostling us every which way. I mean, this story in my book takes place in the 90s when email was relatively new. But today, you know, with smartphones and texting and Twitter and Facebook and all these things going on, we're like constantly being interrupted.
Mm.
And so, you know, we can turn parts of our work into a meditative task, which is to develop our ability to concentrate, which then leads to greater awareness around it.
That's powerful. That's powerful. So what do you feel is the greatest obstacle for most people in moving into full conscious success in the material world? And when I'm just going to back up for a second and say, I've noticed, and you may have noticed the same, that there are a lot of people who are really committed to their spiritual journey who are holding, while they're in that commitment, a bit of judgment against matter, you know, and kind of condemning people who have wealth. And then there are those who are saying, nah, I'm going to let that go, right? I can be spiritual, walking in my heart, and enjoy blessings from the earth as well. What do you feel is the greatest obstacle for most people to getting there, to being able to stay in their heart and actually, you know, achieve material success through their career at the same time?
Yeah, well, I do think, you know, that the obstacles really are internal. And, you know, in the book, I talk about the four keys to manifestation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll go through them quickly. But I believe, you know, most people who talk about, you know, how to achieve career success overlook one or more of these keys. And I think they tie to these internal beliefs and obstacles that you're talking about. And the first key is what I call right intent. And that is, in fact, you know, either visualizing what you're looking for or asking what you're looking for, right? And people do talk a lot about that key. But the second key to manifesting in an appropriate way is what I call right patterns. And that's understanding how your energetic patterns and how your way of manifesting things in the past has been successful or has not been successful. So that's really about awareness of your own personality.
Mm-hmm.
The third key is what I call right technique, which is choosing the right technique in the outer world to get you to where you want to go. And this is not as easy as it may seem, because there are lots of techniques for achieving lots of things, and most of those techniques are wrong for a specific person. But the people who put these techniques out there don't say that, right? And
right.
So I think an awareness of the right technique, I'll give you a really quick example. I went and attended a talk by a Pulitzer Prize-winning author, Isabel Allende, many years ago, and she gave a great technique for writers. She said, write a page a day, and at the end of the year, you'll have 365 pages. That's enough material for a novel. It was a great technique, but I went and tried it, and it didn't work for me because my personality was so different that a page-a-day technique is not the right technique. I might write a chapter in a day and then not write anything for a month. It's just a different energetic pattern, and choosing the right technique for that my own pattern is important.
Mm-hmm.
And then the fourth key to manifestation is what I call right timing or appropriateness. And I think this is where, you know, we all get caught up in, when we want what we want it now, right? And we don't think about what might actually be appropriate for us at this point in time, given where our lives have been, given the contributions we're here to make, as well as the external timing of things in the marketplace and what people are ready for. And I think, you know, that's tuning into a sense of divine timing to ride the waves that are already occurring all around us. And that's very difficult to do. It's very abstract. I can't give you a technique to exactly find right timing, but that's why I tell people to pay attention to clues, because clues can help reveal all of these things if we notice the clues and then we reflect on the clues and we write about them. And that gets us to kind of all four keys. And I believe if we address all four keys to manifestation, you know, we can be successful in our careers and material wealth without really giving up that spiritual part of ourselves that's centered in our heart.
Amazing. So what comes to mind is, you know, I understand that you have revised this book and relaunched it, and in this timing, it's become an international bestseller in a very short time. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So that's a perfect example of right timing. So I actually wrote this book, the first version, which was just the story part without the exercises, many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, I was too busy with my own startups, really, to get out there and market it. And I don't think that people were ready for it at that point in time. This was almost 10 years ago. Right? We were right in the middle of the Iraq War. People were concentrating on other things. Right? And so for me personally, since then, I've grown quite a bit, both in my experience as an entrepreneur and my helping other people achieve their goals by investing in their companies and mentoring them, as well as my understanding of markets and how they work. And so I felt the timing was finally right recently to re-release the book, a second edition, and to add in a lot of the how-tos that I think people are looking for. And I think, you know, there's something in the air right now that people are looking for more meaning in their work. They're not just looking to make money, right? They're looking to be in the right place at the right time to fulfill their destiny in life. And so, yeah, the book was launched a few weeks ago and became an international bestseller in over 5 countries in over 70 different categories. And
wow.
So I was really excited about that, and that kind of shows the element of right timing and appropriateness. I may have wanted to push the book back then, but it wasn't necessarily the right time, both for me and for the marketplace.
And so using your own technology that you just shared, step 4 being right timing, appropriateness at this point in time, did you notice around in the world around you and in your life clues that said right timing is now, let's re-edit the book and shift it out?
I did, and I started to notice those clues about a year ago. And so, you know, I'm much for repetition, right? So intuition told me it's time to do a new book. So I said, well, let me wait. Let me look for more clues, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then more clues came around in the summer, and I said, well, let me wait a little bit longer. I'm kind of busy with this new startup. But I hear the message, and then finally, you know, towards the end of last year, I said, okay, there's enough clues there, and my inner timing seems right, that I'm going to go ahead and start revising the book. And, you know, came across some folks to help in the marketing very synchronistically. And so that kind of all worked out well with this sense of right timing. And that's a perfect example of, you know, of learning to pay attention and using that in our careers in my case, in being a writer.
Beautiful. It comes to my mind when you speak it that if you hadn't have done that by now, those clues or that knock, knock, knocking would be getting more and more frequent. Like, it'd be like, okay, already. I'm doing it. I promise. Okay. Enough.
That's exactly right.
Right?
Yeah. Sometimes we don't get the clues, right? And so they have to
they have to keep on pushing it. Yeah, exactly. But it sounds like you picked up the clues. You stepped into that divine right timing and did what you've been called to do right then and there. And here we are, international bestseller within a couple weeks. That is awesome. I can't wait. Listeners, now, see, the listeners know my commitment and my standing for, let's just say, this radio show in and of itself is a business. That standing in the new energy, I have felt the prompting for it to be in a community consciousness that's not done in a traditional way. And so, listeners, I am definitely getting ready to get Riz's book and be applying these four steps to my own life and how this conscious business of the show is happening. And why don't we keep the conversation open? We'll be talking about it. So, you guys, if you want to grab the book now, it is available on the website and the shop that is in conjunction with the show, which is bridgeholistichealing.com. You'll see the online shop there. And Riz's book will be there today and ongoing. Riz, I can't thank you enough for bringing your gifts not only to us through the show today, but to all that are being able to access these tools through your book. Thanks for listening to your divine guidance and acting on it in this divine timing. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Blessings and go well.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Hi, this is Dr. Leslie. This is a paid advertisement to help support the show. I am a portal, and that which we call God speaks through me with divine knowledge and guidance. I've acted as such for my dear friend Judy Satori, as well as many others, for a number of years. This is an invitation to contact me if you feel to receive such assistance in your own life. I offer spiritual attunement sessions that can be life-changing. These sessions are offered remotely by phone or Skype, and also in person for those who live locally. Here's what one client has said of her experience. Dear Dr. Leslie, it was such an honor to take a session with you. It was so moving and beautiful. I've never felt anything like that before. So many questions that I've been asking for a very long time have now been answered. I went to the forest later, and everything was so peaceful. Three deer and a pheasant were there. Part of her homework from the session actually was to go and spend time in nature. And then, after sending the recording, because she got a recorded MP3 of the session that we had, she said, I've been listening to the recording many times. It still brings up so much emotion and peace at the same time. So I invite you to go to bridgeholistichealing.com and read further about the nature of these unique sessions and contact me through the website if you feel to have one for yourself, or maybe there's someone who comes to mind to refer for my assistance that you know. Thank you for sharing. Spiritual attunement sessions lead to more wholeness, clarity, awakening your own gifts, including if you feel awakening of your own light language or speaking the tongues of angels is for you at this time. Contact me through bridgeholistichealing.com. Thank you. Okay, and we're back. This is the Dr. Leslie Show on WGIV 103.3 FM and 1370 AM. We have a quote for the day, and this is from the spiritual teacher called Abraham about resistance. You know, I mean, I feel like resistance is really part of what fills up that cup to receive. And I don't mean fill it up with what you're wanting. It blocks it from being filled. So resistance is about believing that you are vulnerable or susceptible to something not wanted and holding a stance of protection, which only holds you in a place of not letting in the well-being that would be there otherwise. There is nothing big enough to protect you from unwanted things, and there are no unwanted things big enough to get into your experience. So really, I feel that this quote from the spiritual teacher called Abraham is, in a word, what I would call trust. Trust and rest easy, knowing that all is well. This is about us letting go of fear consciousness, letting go of trying to keep ourselves safe from all the baddies and horriblenesses that we might focus on, that we might attract into our life if we do focus on.
I think that's where our biggest fear is, what he was talking about in his book, The Patterns. I think a lot of times people are afraid to face those patterns, that negative, the resistance that they have. Mm-hmm. They feel if they go into it, it will consume them. But it's important for them to face that and find the tools to release that, resistance, to allow that flow and allow the blessings. And, you know, there's an ocean of bliss just waiting for us to receive. And in that first step, which most people will say to me, I'm afraid. I'm afraid to look at my patterns. I'm afraid to own them. You know, we really have to own them, and it's not us. It's really not who we are. We are our loving self, but we have these blocks and patterns that we've acquired from traumas in childhood, you know, that are things that we haven't learned to process. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like some people are easy and willing to, you know, what he said about finding that treasure. I thought that was a new perspective, a new wording for it. I thought, wow, that's something I'm going to use. I'm going to say there's a hidden treasure for you to find and releasing those patterns. So I think that's important, that, you know, just willing to just go through the process and the journey to release those patterns and move into that abundance, the prosperity, the ocean of bliss that is waiting for you on the other side.
Oh, Stacy, what a beautiful sharing. I've just got chills over and over while you were talking about that. And, you know, that is what I was leaning towards when I asked Riz the question.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about is good grief. That goes into quite an intimate self-examination experience. And it takes releasing fear and willingness to go there, doesn't it? And Stacy, people like you help assist people into that place, don't you?
Yes.
I mean, sometimes we need or feel the need, you know, to have someone from the outside be our way shower into that, you know, that place that we dare not have looked before.
Right. There are therapists and there are healers that are willing to go with you into that fear and the pains that you've had and help you to guide you through a process to help you release that. So there is a lot of support out there and a lot of different vehicles and spiritual practices and ways to find, you know, that journey of pushing through the pain.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. To get to the treasure.
To get to the treasure,
oh,
yes.
The
I love when he said that.
Yes,
the there's a treasure waiting for everyone.
Isn't that beautiful? So, folks, this is about seeing our life as a treasure map. Isn't it exciting?
Well, you know, another thing that I thought of was that the V, which is what we is not the V to be, is victimhood. And in the V of victimhood is not allowing the good things to come in.
So
releasing all those other emotions attached with that is a key to really allowing that ocean of bliss to flow in.
Beautiful, Ellen.
Yes.
So the V as victimhood means the cup is blocked.
Yep.
Yes.
And the V of victory is releasing that victimhood. Thank you for sharing, guys. Now, we have a wonderful gift to bring forward for all of us who are tuned in right now. This is the Holy Spirit is specifically the Elohim, which is the creator aspect of God, through Judy Satori. This is a wonderful preview of a brand new transmission that is soon to be available on her website, which is The Sound of Healing. thesoundoflight.com, which is very healing, by the way. The Sound of Light is very healing. But thesoundoflight.com is Judy's website, and soon you will be able to purchase this as an MP3 to use on a daily basis. Let's join in with Judy now as she brings through. This is just a clip from that transmission. It's brand new, new energies. Let's get it now.
The language of light used in these regeneration sequences is from the Elohim. The language is multilingual, which means that there are many tongues or dimensional light codes used that recreate the material fabric of the human atomic structure. This is like the atoms being excited or revved up, and this excitation of the atom is like a stimulus to cellular regeneration. You will feel your body coming alive as you listen, and if you listen daily, your body will literally function better and feel better, because it will be functioning better and regenerating. Sound is light, vibration, and energy. And these sounds are at frequencies far beyond what the human ear can hear. There are 6 sets of energy transmissions on track 2. All you have to do is put the MP3 onto your iPod or copy it to a CD and listen daily. The first thing in the morning is best. It will take around 20 minutes each morning and will really create a difference in how you feel physically and how you get through the day. I'm so grateful for these energy blessings from Spirit, and I want to share them with you. When you listen to the audio track, it's just like light language sequences all run together, so that it's quick and easy to use and to accommodate into your daily routine. These transmissions are to stimulate and reactivate the pineal gland, the master gland of the body.
Wasn't that powerful from Judy Satori? And that track is called Feel Better Fast. And actually, if you purchase the MP3, it has segments that go through each part of the body. And, you know, that was just a little taste. So that was like a sampler in the grocery store. Okay, folks, this has been a really wonderful day. I've gotten so much out of it.
This has been wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, Leslie.
Yeah. You know, I'm coming out of this. So let's just tune in next week. We're going to have a little conversation amongst everything else that we're doing about how it's coming with the book, with Riz's book on Zen entrepreneurship. You guys, I feel, you know, we was talking about divine timing. Mm-hmm. His showing up. And by the way, listeners, you know, just one of the miracles happening with this show is that suddenly I was getting contacted. Somehow, some big publishing companies heard about this radio show, okay? And I got contacted by Hay House Publishers and another, and they said, please, can we send through some authors and books to be candidates to be on your show, okay? And this is how Riz came in. So you guys just understanding, you remember the humble beginnings. This came from nothing, wasn't looking for it, and then one phone call comes to me, and then I get a call from this publishing company. Where did that come from? This is the divine hand working. And you know what we're doing? Manifesting through allowance. Mm-hmm. Right? We didn't go knocking and looking for publishing companies to bring people on. They came to us. And that's how this whole show is going to continue to evolve. You know, and listeners, as we all hold hands in that energy together, it's happening for all of us. It is happening for all of us. We are open to the new frequencies and allowing as abundance and bliss. What was your word for it again, Stacey?
The ocean of bliss.
Oh.
But yeah, it's all about being in surrender and allowing and just let the gifts come. Release those patterns and those fears and just sit back and allow.
Absolutely. So next week we'll have a little chat on how it's going with Riz's book and the gifts that he brings as to our specific conversation about bringing spirit and matter together as one.
And
it's
not one or the other. I think everybody can relate. Even if you're not an entrepreneur, I think everybody can relate to the principles and the practices in this book.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. You know, even if you're, even if you're in the business of manifesting your most happy life.
Yes,
right?
Absolutely.
You know, that's get to business, folks. This is all about a new kind of energy and doing business, even
yes.
if it's about manifesting your most incredible relationship,
yes.
you know, or a new job or whatever that is. Let's get to business.
Your dreams. Yeah, your dreams are your business.
Yeah, yes. That's right. Okay, folks, we will see you next week. Blessings. And walk sacred. It's the Dr. Leslie Show.